David won't be here. He gave me two Kalim. He gave me one backing up the other.
Listen, don't take away from my sound.
Put it a different place.
Now recording. The streets are showing good.
Okay. We left off last week on Chav Gimel Amar Aleph, Masechus Soita, Chav Gimel Amar Aleph. Mr. Laufer, who's a regular in the Shir, mentioned that he has Yahrzeit for his father this coming Friday. He asked that we dedicate the learning of Zech HaNishmas Shimon Ben Yaakov. The Mishnah lists off many dinim where there's a difference between a man and a woman. And Tosfos on Amud Beis quotes the Tosefta that there are many, many more differences between men and women. So we'll first go through the Mishnah. So the din is, we left off in the middle of the topic, the din is that if a Kohen brings a Korban Mincha, so you burn the whole Mincha on the Mizbeach. You don't do any Kmitza. If a non-Kohen brings a Mincha to the Beis HaMikdash, the Kohanim do a Kmitza, they take out a little bit, a fistful of flour, and they put that into a second Kli Shares, and then they burn it on the Mizbeach, and the Shirayim, whatever is left over, is Nechal Tizichri Kuhuna, Yom V'laylo Ad Chatzos, because the Korban Mincha has the status of Kochi Kochim. The Kochi Kochim have to be eaten in the Azorah by Kohanim, by Zichri Kohuna, only Yom V'laylo Ad Chatzos. So here the Mishnah has Chidush Din. If you have a woman as a Sota, she is not a Kohenes. And even if she would be a Kohenes, it does make a difference, because this special Din, that a Mincha is Kohen, Kolol Toktor, you burn the whole Mincha, you don't do any Kmitz at all, this is one of the Dinim which only applies to a man, doesn't apply to a woman. If a woman is a Kohenes, she can take Zrolach HaYayim V'HaKevo. We mentioned, whenever you shech the behemoth, you're supposed to give certain parts to the Kohanim. We don't observe it in Chutz Lords, because we follow that opinion in the Tanoim, that it's only Noig in Eretz Yisrael. But in Eretz Yisrael, you're supposed to observe it. It gives Zrolach HaYayim V'HaKevo to a Kohen. So that, the Gemara says, for sure, you can give to a Kohenes. Zrolach HaYayim V'HaKevo may be given to a female Kohenes, even if she's married to Yisrael, even while she's married to Yisrael. Eating truma, a bas kohen may eat truma, but when she marries a non-kohen, if she's single, but if she marries a non-kohen, then she's not permitted to eat truma, because man, she's still married. If the husband dies or he divorces her, then the shovel based on kinderam and lechem avia teichel. Then she, if there are no children, then she's allowed to eat truma back again. Yeah. So the tidyar ben mani we said is a machlokes, the Rambam and Tosfos, whether a female kohenes can participate in Pidyon HaBen. Tosfos writes in First Perek in Kedushin that a bas kohen can do Pidyon HaBen even if she's married to Yisrael. Tosfos holds that it has the same status as Zrolach HaYayim V'HaKevo, that even a kohenes, while she's married to the Yisrael, is allowed to take Zrolach HaYayim V'HaKevo. Tosfos thinks that the same is true regarding Pidyon HaBen. The Rambam says that a bas kohen cannot do Pidyon HaBen. We mentioned Rabbi Kiveger on Yeridei writes, he doesn't think it's a new machlokes between Tosfos and the Rambam. He says it's just a machlokes which opinion in the Gemara Chulin to accept. The Gemara Maseches Chulin, and next to the last perek, talks about Zrolach HaYayim V'HaKevo. And the Gemara there explains, how do you know which dinam of kohuna apply to male kohanim only, which apply even to women, bas kohen? So based on the two opinions in Gemara, it'll come out to be this machlokes hamaroim, this machlokes Tosfos and the Rambam, which opinion to accept regarding whether a bas kohen can do the Pidyon HaBen. So here the Mishnah has like this: if a kohen brings a korban, you don't do mincha, you don't do kmitza at all. You just take the whole mincha, you burn it on the mizbech. If a bas kohen brings a korban mincha, so you don't burn the whole thing. This special din only applies to male kohanim, doesn't apply to female. What if a woman is married to a kohen? Whether the woman is a kohenes or not a kohenes doesn't make a difference, because even if she is a kohenes, she doesn't have this din that is called otoktor. So if you have either kohenes or Yisraelis is married to a kohen, and she brings a mincha soito, so the Mishnah says we treat it as if it were a sofek. It's not really a sofek, but it's a taita disasri. On the one hand and on the other, on the one hand it's her mincha, and she, even if she's a kohenes, she doesn't have the din of kolol toktor. She doesn't have the din you burn the whole mincha. mitzad the Ashes coin or the Bas coin or the wife, whoever she happens to be, Kohenis Israelis, Leviah, doesn't make a difference. He's supposed to do kmitza, he's supposed to burn the koimetz, and the rest should really be eaten. But because the husband pays for the mincha, so the husband is also shtikled bala korban. So mitzad the husband, you should really burn the whole thing, you shouldn't eat anything. So we treat it, it's a tacted asasri over here. Both she and the husband are bala hakorban on this mincha. Mitzad the isha, you should do kmitza and eat the rest. Mitzad the husband, you should burn the whole thing. So how do you deal with it? So the Mishnah says, you're not allowed to, doesn't explain what you do. The Mishnah says, you do kmitza, you burn the koimetz, and you're not allowed to eat the rest. So it doesn't say what you do do with the rest. So that's what the Gemara is going to discuss. Tana Rabbanon, let's start the Gemara. We didn't finish the Mishnah yet. We'll first do the piece of Gemara, then we'll go to the rest of the Mishnah. Tana Rabbanon, the Gemara quotes a Tosefta. Kol ha-nesuas l'kuhuna, if a woman is married to a kohen, min chaseim desrafis, you're not allowed to eat the leftover of the mincha. You do kmitza, you burn the koimetz on the mizbeach, whatever is left over would normally be eaten, but because she's married to a kohen, you're not allowed to eat it. Ketzad. So what does that mean? For example, whether she's kohenes, levia, v'israelis, whoever she happens to be, even if she's a kohenes, because this din of kolol tia doesn't apply to kohenes. Whoever she is, shenisus l'kohen, on the one hand, emin chosen acheles, you're not allowed to eat the mincha mefnei she'esh lo chelik bo. Because the husband also has a share. He's the shtikel bala korban, because he's funding it, he's paying for it. On the other hand, veino kolil, veino lekolil, he can't burn the whole thing. You don't say, don't do kmitza, burn the whole thing. Can't do that either, mipnei. She yesh lo chelik bo, because she is the balas ha-korban. A lot of times you have one person pays for the korban, but the korban is offered on behalf of somebody else. So someone is the magdish, and the other person is the miskaper. Here, the husband pays for it, he's the magdish, he's funding the korban. But who is the one on whose behalf the kohanim are makriv the korban? It's offered on behalf of the isha. It's the mincha soita. So on the one hand, yesh lo chelek bo. The husband has a chelek. He is the magdish. He's mechuyev, not stam. He is mechuyev to pay for the korban mincha. So on the one hand, it really ought to be considered, we ought to treat it like a mincha's coin. You're not allowed to eat isha, right? On the other hand, you don't say, you don't do kmitza at all. You just burn the whole thing. Yesh lo chelek bo. Because she is the miskaper, the wife is the balas hamincha, and by women, even if she's a kohenes, you don't have the din yet that you burn the whole thing. So what do you do? So the Tosefta explains, Ella, you do kmitza, you put the koimetz in a second klisharis. When you do kmitza, the whole mincha has to be in klisharis number one. Then the kohen does kmitza with his fingers, and he has to throw it into a second klisharis, like when you shecht a korban. So you shecht the korban with a knife, and then you have to have a klisharis to collect the dam. So the klisharis adds a higher level of kedusha to the dam. Also, when you do the kmitza, you mevar the chelik. When you shecht the korban, the purpose of shechita by chulin, we shecht the behemoth and oifas in order to eat it. The shechita is a specific way how to kill the animal. If you didn't kill it properly, it's an avela. If you killed it properly, then it's not an avela. The purpose, the role of shechita by korbanos is not to kill the animal. The role of shechita bar korbanos is to be mevar chelik avoya, to separate the dam which is going to be nizrak al gabi hamizbeach. So the kmitza by the mincha is the parallel to the shechita by the korbanos. Just like shechita is for the purpose of taking out the dam, and you have to have the dam collected in a klisharis. A kohen has to hold the klisharis in his right hand. Usually you have to have two kohen. One kohen is going to shech, another kohen has to hold the klisharis. If he's a righty, you shech with the right hand. You're going to shech with the left hand, you're going to make it in the veil. He won't do a good job if your strength is the right hand. So one coin is going to shech with the right hand, the other coin is going to hold the klisharis in his right hand to be mekabel adam. So parallel to that, you have by a korban mincha, the coin has to do kmitza with his right hand, and then he has to throw the komets, the little bit of flour, into a klisharis number two, a second klisharis, to be mekadosh it again. That's parallel to the kabbalah adam. So you have to do kmitza on the korban, meaning you have the husband and the wife. Husband is a kohen, the wife, even if she is a kohenes, doesn't play a role. So you have to do kmitza, mitzad isha. You have to do kmitza, then you burn the koimetz on the mizbech. What do you do with the shirayim? So the braisa, the Tosefta says, ha-koimetz kara biatzma, the koimetz is burnt on the mizbech separately, but ha-shirayim and the leftover, not only is no one allowed to eat it, the zichrei kuna don't eat it, ha-shirayim kreivim biatzma. And you have to burn the leftover also on top of the mizbech. It's krevim. Krevim means it's burnt on top of the mizbech. That's what it says in the Tosefta. So the Gemara picks on the Tosefta. See, the Mishnah doesn't spell out exactly what you do. It just says you burn the whole mincha. Whoever's married to a kohen, a woman is married to a kohen, she brings a mincha soita, so you don't eat the leftover you burn. It doesn't say we burn. It doesn't say that you burn it on the mizbeach. The Tosefta says, hakohen mitzkorev liatzmo, mashirayim kreivim biatzmam, it's burnt on top of the mizbeach. So the Gemara fek takashe, you're not allowed to do that. There were certain karbonos, a karbon oil, or the din is you shech the karbon oil, you do the zrika sadam, then you burn all of the flesh on the mizbech. You don't burn the hide, you have to do hefshit. First you do hefshit, you have to remove all of the skin, and then you burn all of the flesh on the mizbech. But when you have a karbon shlomim, let's say, so you only burn the chalev, and all of the flesh is eaten by the bala karbon, or he invites friends and relatives to come and eat. Or let's say you have a chatas or an asham, so you only zorek the dam, and then you burn the chalev, the sections that are chalev, and then all of the flesh is eaten by zichri kuna, chatas and asham as kochi kochim, so it's eaten by zichri kuna only in the azorah, yom v'laylo at chatzos. What if instead of giving the besar hashlamim to the bala korban to eat, or the besar hachatas v'ha'osham to the kohanim to eat, you're going to take that flesh that's supposed to be eaten, you're going to burn it also on the mizbech, like an oil. Oil is supposed to burn all the flesh on the mizbech. What if you have a korban, where you berserk the dam and you burn the chalev, and the flesh is supposed to be eaten by somebody or another, kimitzvasa, and instead of doing that, you burn it on the mizbech. So the Gemara says that's a separate lav in the Chumash. So Rashi fills you in on the whole background over here. The Pasuk says, at the beginning of Chumash Vayikra, the Pasuk says, you're not allowed to be makar b'am nizbech sora dvash. Called sa'or, sor means chametz. Let's say bring a korban mincha, consists of flour. So if you're going to mix the flour with, mix the flour with water. Mincha, mix the flour with shemen. Mix the flour with shemen. Mincha b'lula b'shem. What if you're going to mix in a little water with the shemen? So if you're going to let it sit long enough, it'll turn into chametz. If you let it turn into chametz, then it's an issur to be makriv and on the mizbech. That's a lav sa'or. Sa'or means anything that's chametz that you're not allowed to be makriv on the mizbech. And dvash represents pri and any masikas pri. Sugar, you know, whatever is a derivative from a fruit, you're not allowed to be makriv on the mizbech. Shemen zayis is a derivative from fruit, so that's an exception to the rule. But leaving out shemen zayis that you mix into the korban mincha all the time, Yain is also, yain you pour down the shisen, you pour down the pipes, you don't burn it on the mizbech, right? But yain is also an exception to all, you makriv it as a korban on the mizbech, that's right. So leaving out the shemen with the yain, and chosim and iskeim, that's the shemen and the yain, so there's an isa not to be makriv sorad bash on the mizbech. So that pasuk that says, ki chalsav achad vash lach saktiru mimenu, yishel Hashem, so the word mimenu is miyuter. It could have just as well been written ki chosar b'chad vash lo esaktiru ishel Hashem. Why does it say the word mimenu? It's an extra word. So the Gemara Menaches has a whole interpretation of what it means. That you shouldn't think that it's only osur if the whole carbon consists of sorad vash, even if only miktsas min ha-carbon is sorad vash. Mimenu means miktsas minayin tamalam mimenu. That's one drasha that the Gemara has. So now the Gemara has another drasha that's problematic. How do you darshan two different dinim from the same word is a problem. The Gemara has another drasha. Ki chol sar b'chad dvash lo saktiru l'ashem. You're not allowed to bring a mizbeach. And then the word mimenu has a different connotation. Kol she mimenu l'ishim hareu b'bal taktiru. Whenever you brought a korban shlomim, toido, mincha, Chatos Hashem, where you're supposed to burn part of it. By all, the Karbon is supposed to burn the chalev. And then the flesh of the shlomim and the toidah should be eaten by the balak Karbon. And the flesh of the chatos and the Hashem should be eaten by the zichri kuhuna. And the leftover shiyori hamincha should be eaten by the zichri kuhuna. So if you are makte the koimet, so you makte the emurim, the chalev is called emurim. Why is it called emurim? The word emurim never appears in Chumash. It's a Greek word. The word emurim is a Greek word. It means the mufchar, means the choice section of the behemah is the chalev. So when you makta the emurim on the mizbeach, the rest of the flesh is supposed to be eaten either by zichri kuhuna or by Yisraelim. So that's called kol she memeno le'ishim. If part of the carbon was burnt already on the fire, you're not allowed to be makta the rest of it. Whatever is designated to be eaten, you're not allowed to burn on the mizbeach. So the Gemara says, what did you do over here? You have the woman is married to a kohen, and they're bringing a korban mincha soito. So on the one hand, the husband is mechuyif to pay for the mincha soito, so he's the shtikel bala korban, he's the magdush. On the other hand, the woman is the miskaper, the korban is brought on her behalf. So they're both considered bala ha-korban. So if a man is, the husband is a male kohen, so if the man is a kohen, he brings a mincha, you don't do kmitza at all, you don't need to shirayim. If a woman brings a mincha, even if she is a bas kohen, doesn't make a difference, even if she's married to a kohen, if she brings a mincha, so you do kmitz and you do eat the rest. So the brayse supposes the tarta de sasri, what do you do? So it says you do kmitz, you burn the kohenitz, and then what's left over, you burn that also because you're not allowed to eat it. So the Gemara says, but you said on the one hand, it's a korban that the woman is the balas a korban, so you're supposed to eat the shiori ha-mincha, the shirayim. So how does that solve the problem? You do kmitza, you burn the kohenitz, then you solve your problem, you burn the rest also. You're not allowed to burn the rest. It's an iser, it's an aver, it's a loisah, so you get malchus.
So what's worse for a person came to burning without
you shouldn't burn it on the mizbeach. You shouldn't eat it. Because on the one hand, it's a minchas kohen. The husband is paying for it. He's mukhiv to pay for it. So he's the bala korban. But on the other hand, you're not allowed to burn it on the mizbeach. Because the wife is the bala korban. So you should leave it till it becomes if sobalina, and then you burn it. But you shouldn't burn it on the mizbeach. That's the Gemara's kasha. How can the brises say, ha-koymetz korabiyatzmi, you do the kmitza, you burn the koymetz. Then you burn the shirayim on the mizbeach, ha-shirayim kreivim, it's korban top of the mizbeach, that's the end of the tosefta. So the Gemara, frekta kasha on the tosefta, how can you allow that? Ikri kan, why don't I apply the pasuk? Mikra is a pasuk. Ikri kan, I should apply the pasuk and chumash that we darshan from the word memeno, kol shehu memeno leishim. If you have a korban, part of which was already burnt on the mizbech and the rest is supposed to be eaten, harei ubal taktira, there's an iser. Learn that from the same pasuk that you're not allowed to be makter saor or dvash, there's a third thing you're not allowed to be makter, amimenu. Any korban which is supposed to be nechal, if it would become nitma, if it becomes pigal, noisa, tome, okay, so that's a din, you have to burn pigal, noisa, tome, and it didn't become possible. So it's a special isa, you're not allowed to be makter on the mizbech. And for the Gemara, Omer Yehuda Berei Derbashim Imam Pazi, one of the Chachamim says, I have an interpretation. That Tosefta that says that you burn the rest of the Shiori HaMincha, where the husband is a kohen and the wife doesn't matter who she is, even if she's a kohen, it doesn't matter. The Braisa that says you burn the rest on the Mizbech only follows the opinion of one Tana. And for the Gemara, the solution is, the Braisa means the Masik Lahu, he burns it on top, he puts it, Masik means Laha Alos, he puts the Shiori HaMincha on top of the Mizbech and he burns it L'Shem Eitzim Ki Reb Lezer. That Reb Lezer, the Tana says that, that Iser, whenever you are makta the emurim, you're not allowed to burn the flesh that's supposed to be nechal. That's only if you're burning the flesh l'shem haktoras hakorban. Right, l'reach nechoach. But what if you're burning it l'shem fuel? It should serve as fuel if I'm going to put some chelev on top of it. So he claims, Ablezer, the Tana claims there's no isa. The Tanya learns out from Pasuk, Ablezer, l'reach nechoach yatamala. You're not allowed to burn the mimenu leishim l'shem hakrovas korban. This itself should be a korban, a matana to the Rabbanu Shalom. But if you're burning it over here, the guy has in mind, Rashi says he has in mind like a tanai. He says, if we should really emphasize the fact that the husband is the bala korban because he has to pay, he has to fund the korban. A husband is a kohen, so the kmitza that we did was meaningless. So the whole thing is korban gabi hamizbeach. So we're burning everything l'shem korban. But on the other hand, the wife is the real balas hakorban. She's the miskaper. The husband is the magdish, and the wife is the miskaper over here. The husband, the mincha is korev on her behalf. So mitzad her, you should really do kmitza, makta the kaimitz, and eat the rest. So he's supposed to eat it. You're not allowed to be makterit. You're not allowed to be makterit l'shem haktorah. But if I'll be makterit l'shem as fuel, that if anything else, if I'll have some other karbonis, I'll use this as fuel to burn that. So the Tana Reb Lezer says that that's okay. That's the Tana Reb Lezer. There's a Mishnah in Zvachim. The Mishnah is having Zvachim. Let's say the flesh from a chatos gets mixed up with the flesh from an oilo. The Bisar ha-oilo is supposed to be kula kolo. It's supposed to burn the whole thing on the mizbech. The Bisar ha-chatos is supposed to be nechel tizich rikuna, yom v'layla al-chatzos. and pieces of flesh got mixed up. I don't know which is which. So you can't say let the kohanim eat both pieces. There'll be over on an isa. It's an isa me'ila if you eat from a carbon oil. No one's allowed to eat. Even the kohanim are not allowed to eat. When are you going to say let's burn both of them? So you're not allowed to burn the oil is doing the mitzvah, but to burn the chatas is an isa. Kol shememana lishim harev v'al taktir. So the chachamim say you have to leave over both pieces of flesh. You don't know which is which. It's a taruvus. Wait till it becomes nipsal, belina, and then you burn it. Petaris noisar, pigal noisar tummy. You have to burn. And Reb Lezer says no problem. You burn them both on the mizbeach. You burn both pieces of flesh. You don't know which is the bsar chatas, which is the bsar ha'oila. So you have in mind if this is the bsar ha'oila, so it's supposed to be harev v'al. He's supposed to be makterit. He's supposed to be makterit. And if this is the Bisar HaChatos, I don't have in mind L'Shem Mitzvah HaKtorah. I have in mind my Leil L'Shem Ishim, not L'Shem HaKroveh, it's L'Shem to serve as fuel in case I'll put some other Karbonis on top of it. So the Gemara says that interpretation of the Tosefta is Nitan L'Hayomer if you hold like Rab Lazar, if you hold like that Tana. That's what the Gemara says, five lines from the bottom. Oh, Nicha, this Pshat that you just suggested, this is valid. L'Rab Lazar, this lehasvar. Rab Lazar holds like that. That there's no iser kol shememena leishim. There's no avera to burn flesh from achatas and rosh from the mizbeach. If you have in mind l'shem eitzim, that just l'shem fuel. So you can have in mind manabshach. I don't know which is which. Let's say by the original case of Rab Lazar, b'sar achatos got mixed up with b'sar ha'oilo. I don't know which piece is b'sar achatos, which is b'sar ha'oilo. So you make a tenai, you say, if this is Bsar Chatos, I'm only burning it not L'Shem HaKtorah, not L'Shem Korban, L'Shem Eitzim, to serve as fuel. And if this is Bsar Ha'ila, I have in mind, Makterit L'Shem HaKtorah, it's supposed to be burnt as a korban. Rashi applies the same iman of Shoch over here. Over here, Tosis picks on Rashi. Tosis Dibra Mascha, Demasik Luhu L'Shem Eitzim. So Tosis quotes the Rashi that you say this tonight. Have in mind this tonight. So Taisa's Tain is against Rashi. In the original Mishnah where Rab Lazar's din was formulated, the Mishnah in Zvochim, where the Bsar HaChatos got mixed up, the Taruvis of Chad B'Chad, Bsar HaChatos got mixed up with the Bsar HaOilo, so you have a piece of flesh, you don't know what it is. So that makes sense to say a tonight. If it's an Oilo, Hareza Oilo, I'm burning it L'Shem HaKrove, and if it's L'Chatos, I'm burning it L'Shem Eitzim, just to serve as fuel, not to serve as a hakrov, and I don't want to violate the Isser of Kol Shem Emenu. But over here in our case, watch, it's not a taruvis of two things, that it's either A or B. It's both A and B at the same time, because the husband is a kohen and the wife is not. So mitzad, it's a tarte desasri over here. It's not a taruvis, it's a tarte desasri, it's a contradiction. On the one hand, the husband is the magdish, so if you're going to treat it like a minchas kohen, husband is a kohen. So you're supposed to burn everything, L'Shem HaKtorah. On the other hand, the wife is the miskaper, so you're not supposed to burn everything. So what do you mean? What are you going to say at Tanai? If it's supposed to be burned, it has both elements within it. It's not the way Rashi says it. That's what Tosis picks on Rashi. It does make sense to formulate such a Tanai over here. By the original case of Rab Lazar, the Mishnah Zvachim, where Bsar Chatos got mixed in with Bsar Oilo, so that makes sense to the same Iman of Shach. Have in mind either A or B, depending what it is. But in our case, it's both at the same time. It's tied to the Sastri. So Taisa says it doesn't make sense to... They don't agree with Rashi. They think that Rashi just slipped up over here. He really meant the case of the original case of Rab Lazar, you say such a Tanai. But in our case, it doesn't make sense to make such a Tanai.
Why can't you say possibly that Rashi's thinking in terms of the precedence? Maybe the Baal part takes precedence, so with
I mean, which one should be Odif? Which one? Maybe that's what Rashi means. Okay. This was an idea that Rav Soloveitchik introduced into learning a lot, that sometimes the halacha speaks of a tarte desasri, and we treat it as if it were a sofik. It's not really a sofik. He quoted this Ritva in Yuma has like that. The Gemara has a din in Yuma. The Kohen Gadol on Kippur has to take Melach off the Keturah Samim Dak every day. The Kohen Gadol, every day the Kohen, you don't need the Kohen Gadol. Every day the Kohen, they determine which Kohen is going to do Hakturas Hakturas. So you burn Man Lecha Yom Pras B'Shachas and Pras Bein Abayim. You burn Keturah Shel Shach and Keturah Shel Bein Abayim. And on Yom Kippur, You have to take, in addition to the Ketoresh al-Shah, Ketoresh al-Bein al-Baim, in addition to that, you have to have Daka min ha-Daka, Saner Yom Kippur Machzir al-Machteshes, and you make it even finer than it was all year long, and you take Malach off the Ketoresh al-Bein al-Daka, has to stick in his both hands. It's not a Kemitza. Kemitza depends on the size of my hand. You can't measure it in a kli. Malach off also depends on the size of my fists. You can't do it in a kli. But it's a much more than a kaimitz is only like this, what's left in the three fingers. And Malach Ofnev is the both hands. So Gemara said the Kangodl on Yom Kippur takes Dakamen Adake, he takes the Ketores, and he has to take it in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and he burns it in the Machta. He takes it in the Kafa Machta, the Machta has coals, and he has to burn it on the floor in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Normally you burn the Ketores on the Mizbach HaKetores in the Heichal. And Yom Kippur, in addition to burning the Ketores Shel Kol Yom, on the Mizbach HaKetores in the Heichal, in addition to that, he has to burn the Malach Ofnov on the Machto, which is on the floor in the Kodesh HaKadosh. There's no Mizbech over there. He burns it on the floor. You don't need a Mizbech to burn the Ketores. So the Gemara has a Shaila when he takes Malach Ofnov like this, a fistful of Ketores, so a lot of Ketores falls out. A lot of Ketores falls back into the container. So that doesn't have the din. You don't have to be makta. The Gemara has a shaila. What about what's stuck bein ha-binayim? What about what's stuck in between the fingers? Because he sticks his fingers in. Does it have the din like inside Malach Ofnov, or does it not have the din of Malach Ofnov? So the Gemara says, one of the Amoraim, I think Rava. Rava had the shaila. Then it says in the Marbasa de Baya Hoda Pashta, after he thought for a while, he came up with the conclusion, it's a suffix. So what did he figure out? First, yes, when we learned that Gemara, we were reminded. Rav Soloveitchik, a lot of times, was sitting, he would be giving a shiur, he was trying to figure out, breaking his head, trying to figure out pshat. So he would ask the boy to turn off the tape. He used to tape all the shiur. Turn off the tape. Then after a few minutes, he figured out, okay, turn on the tape. Then he would start, he says, I don't know. Turn off the tape. After thinking for 3 minutes or 5 minutes, I don't know. So that's what Rava said over here. Somewhat the Gemara. The Gemara says Rava had the Shaila, but the Baya had the Pashta. After he thought about it, came to the conclusion it's a Sveika. That's what he said in the first place, it's a Sveika. So what changed from the beginning to the end? So there's a Ritva and not Gemara. No one would have known this Ritva, but the Ragachava quoted it, so he made it world famous. So the Ritva says Rava had a Sveika. In the beginning, is it kilifneim or kilachutz? Does it have the din of Malach Ofnov? You have to be makdir it, or it doesn't have the din. It's like all the rest of the Torah that's going to fall back into the container. Well, so the bayu hada pashta al pi din, it's a sveikah de dina because it's both. It's both kilifneim and kilachutz, and we treat it as if it were a suffik. Whenever you have a tarta de sastri, you treat it as if it were a suffik. And then the ritva gives us a mashal, bein hashmashes. We usually assume bein hashmashes means it's a suffix, yom, suffix, lad. You don't know when the day ends, you don't know when the night begins. So the Ritva adds a new dimension. He says, no, that period of time, that block of time, those 25 minutes, that it's a suffix, yom, suffix, lad. It's not a suffix, yom. The rabbis couldn't figure it out. All these generations, they couldn't figure out when the first day ends, when the second day begins. The answer is no. As elements of day and elements of night. Because on the one hand, the sun set already. On the other hand, there's still light outside. So if you judge day versus night by the sun, it says in Parshas Bereishis, the Rebbeinu Shlom put the sun on the earth to distinguish lahavdil ben hayom uvein halayla. So once the sun sets, so in a certain sense, it's layla already. But on the other hand, the sun is lahoyer alhor, it's to give light, and it's still light until tzeisah kochavim. So on the one hand, it's yom, on the one hand, it's layla. So that's what the Gemara calls the suffix. So Ritva has this chiddush. It doesn't mean it's a suffix. The rabbis couldn't ascertain where to draw the line. When is the end of Yom? When is the beginning of Laila? Whenever you have a tarta de sasri, we treat it as if it were a suffix. So that's what Rashi is saying over here. Rashi says that on the one hand, on the other hand, on the one hand, the husband is a kohen, so, and he al pidin he has to pay for the korban mincha soita. On the other hand, the wife is the miskaper. She's the balas of carbon. Even if she's a kohenis, kohenis doesn't have this din that you burn the whole mincha. So Rashi says you treat it as if it were a suffix. It's not really a suffix. Treat it as if it were a suffix. So just like when you have a real suffix of a taruvis, of b'sar chatus, of b'sar oilo, so Rashi says you make a tanai, so Rashi thinks over here also you have this in mind. And Taisa says it doesn't make any sense. What are you talking about? How can you make a tanai over here? You say which is dominant? Which of the two is dominant? Okay. Taisis Tainis, it's a different kind of a suffix here. It's a type of a sasri. Not the same suffix as a tarubis. So the Gemara had this Tosefta. The Tosefta says, you burn the koimitz bifnei atzma, and the shirayim you burn bifnei atzma. The Gemara had the kasha, but you're not allowed to burn the shirayim. It's a lav kol shememana liyishim. The Gemara says that the Tosefta follows the sheet of that Tana Reb Lezer, whom we don't paskin like. Do we paskin like him? I don't remember. Shaila if we paskin. So the Gemara says, hey, nicha, this pshat that you said is only nicha that's valid if you hold like Reb Lezer, this lay high svara. He holds like that in the Mishnah Zvachim. Ela the Rabbanan, but the Chachamim disagree with the Tana Reb Lezer, the Islu Hasvara. Fact the Gemara, Ma'ika Lameima, what are you going to say over here? The Mishnah doesn't tell you what to do. If the husband is a Kohen and the wife is a Kohenis or Israelis, whatever, Mishnah just says you don't eat the Shirayim. Doesn't say what you do with the Shirayim. Just says, Minchasem the Srafas, he burned the whole thing and says you don't eat it. So what do you do with it? So the Tosefta says, he burned the Koimitz Bifnei Atzma on one corner on the Mizbech, he burned the Shirayim on another corner on the Mizbech. The Mishnah doesn't say that. So the Gemara says, the Abdul Huk, Rab Lazar, Rab Shimon, those that disagree with Rab Lazar and the Mishnah and Zvachim will probably recommend to do the following. The Tanya, Rab Lazar, Rab Shimon, Aymer, he's talking about a different case. Rab Lazar, Rab Shimon, talking about a different case. But what he says in effect is, well, we'll do the din in a minute, you do kmitza, you burn the koimitz, and then you don't eat the shirayim, but you don't burn it on the mizbech either. So you burn it on the floor. You burn it somewhere else in the Beis Hamikdash. What case is he talking about? Rab Lazar, Rab Shimon, Rashi gives you the whole background. We're used to thinking there are two types of a mincha. There's a minchas nidova. The beginning of Vayikra talks a person voluntarily donates a mincha. Yeah, minchas solis, minchas marcheshes, minchas ma'afet taner. All different kinds of minchas that you volunteer, that you donate. Minchas nidova. Then you have a minchas choite. There are three averis where the korbanos that you have to bring for kapora purposes are known as oil of yori, chatos oil of yori. Oil of yori means if you can afford it, you bring the more expensive carbon. If you can't afford that, you bring less expensive. If you can't even afford that, then you bring the carbon, you bring bashiris, bedalos, and bedali dalos. So if you can afford it, you bring a chatos behem. If you can't afford it, you bring a chatos soif plus an oil of soif. Bring a chatos soif and an oil of soif. And if you can't even afford that, a chatos soif and the oil of soif, then you bring the minchas chayte. So it's set, there's an obscure pasuk by the minchas choyte, v'hoysa l'koyin ka mincha. When you bring a minchas choyte, you give it to the kohanim. So it's unclear, you give it to the kohanim for the purpose of hakrove, or you give it to the kohanim for the purpose of eating. It doesn't say explicitly what. A normal mincha that a balabos, a non-koyin, anybody other than a kohanim, a normal mincha that you bring to the Beis HaMikdosh, you do kemitza, you burn the kohanim, the kohanim have to do the kemitza. The Israelim can't do it. It's an avoda. All the avodas hakabonos have to be done by Kohen. So the Kohen does the kmitza. He burns the kmitza. And then the shirayim, what's left out, the shiari haminchas nechal, the zichr kuna, yom v'layla ad chatzais. Here the pasuk says when you bring, for those three averis, what are the three averis already? One is a tumas migdash v'kadoshov. If a person entered the Beis HaMikdash b'tumah, b'shoigeg, or he ate karbonos b'shoigeg in a state of tumah. The other one is shvuas bitui. And the third one, Shua said, Shua is bita, he took a Shua, he's not going to drink any coffee. And then by mistake, he goes and he drinks the coffee. That's called Shua is bita. Nefesh kisi shava levate besosayim. Levate means to pronounce with your lips. You can't take a Shua belev, a Shua is only binding if you say bita. So one is Tumas Migdash v'kadoshav, that's takakoris. Tumas Migdash v'kadoshav, a person enters the Beis HaMikdash in the state of Tumah, he's chayv koris. So that we understand why he's chayv achatas. And the other two, there's no koris. A person violates Shavuos Bita, he took a Shavua not to eat the bananas, and then he forgot all about it, he goes, Vanela Mimani, he forgot all about it, and he eats the bananas. And then, Shavuos Ha'edus, I say, Bo V'Heiduni, come and testify on my behalf. I have a dinter with Ruvain, and I don't bring any witnesses, I'm not going to win. And you were there, you know the story, come and testify. And you swear falsely, Shavuos Ha'edun Ha'yod Melucha Ha'edus. And I lost the money because of the fact, if you have 100 Eidim, if you have 4 Eidim and 2 swear we don't know anything about it, they didn't have air to swear falsely, but they weren't mafsid me the mammon, because I'm going to win the din Torah anyway, because I have the other 2 Eidim. Or I have a shtar. I don't really need the Eidim. I have a shtar. So I'm going to win the din Torah anyway. So even though they did an aver by swearing falsely, they don't have to bring the chata sol v'yari. But if they caused me to lose the din Torah, because of their swearing falsely, then they need a kapara. So those three averas, you don't have, normally you have a chatos kavua, whether you can afford it or you can't afford it. Person ate chelad b'shegik, he eats dam b'shegik, mechal shabbos b'shegik, he eats chametz b'pesach, he eats al yom kippur b'shegik. When you violate one of the 36 creases, Amur is batar, the lam of creases, Amur is batar. When you violate an Issa Karis b'shegik, so the din is yechai v'chatos, whether you can afford it or not. That's the halacha. You got to bring a chatos. You can't afford it, so you borrow money from somebody, or you wait till you can afford it. You do whatever you can, but we don't give you a break and let you get away with buying a less expensive korban. And by these three specific averas, tumas migdash v'kadosha, and shvuas bita and shvuas aedus, the chumash says you have. It's called oyla v'yarit. I had a professor who used to teach Tanakh. He thought that oyla v'yarit has something to do with the fact that there were 15 steps in the Azorah between the Ezras Noshim. Has absolutely nothing to do whatsoever with the 15 steps. That's not LVR. LVR means the price goes up, the price goes down, depending on how much you can afford. So if one can afford it, he brings a chatas beim. If that's too much, if he can afford the chatas oif or the oil oif, which is much less expensive, let him bring that. If he can't even afford that, then he has to bring the minchas choyte. So it says in the pasuk, v'hoysa l'koyin kam mincha. The minchas chayte, you give it to the Kohanim and it's treated like a mincha. What do you mean? You give it to the Kohanim to be makriv it, or you give it to the Kohanim to eat it? Which way does it mean? So there's a machlokes hatanaim. So one Tana says, "Boisal akoyin ka mincha, minchas chayva is treated the same as a minchas nedova. Just like if a koyin brings a minchas nedova, kolil toktar, you burn the whole thing on the mizbech. You don't do kmitza." And then have the shirayim necholim. Whenever the kohen is the bala mincha, he burned the whole thing. So even if there's a kohen who did the avera, one of these three averas, and he's bringing a minchas choiva for a kapara, it's the same as a minchas nedova, that you don't do kmitza, you burn the whole thing. And the other Tana, Rav Loz, Rav Shimon disagrees. He says, no, b'hoysal kohen ka mincha means you have kohanim do the avoida, but it doesn't mean that if a minchas kohen, if a kohen did the avera, so you don't do kmitza at all. No, he says, you do kmitza, hakoimetz korev biyatzmo, but as normally, when you bring a normal mincha, you do kmitza, you burn the koimetz, then the shirayim is nechal, but over here, it's not so. The shirayim, it's not like a minchas koyin that you don't do kmitza at all, but it's not like a minchas Yisrael either that you do kmitza and you eat, you have the kohanim eat the shiorei ha-mincha. Hakoimetz korev liyatzmo, but hashirayim, you're not allowed to eat either, but you don't burn it on the mizbeach. Mispazrim al beis hadeshen. You burn it on the floor in the azor. You don't burn it on top of the mizbeach. So that's what the Gemara says. The Tosefta that says when you have an eishes koyin who's a soita, so she brings the mincha. You do the kmitzi. You burn the koyin. Then you burn the rest on the mizbeach. That's only for hold like the Tana Reb Lazar in the Mishnah Zvachim, who holds that you're allowed to, there's no issa to be makta l'shem eitzim. If you don't have in mind the shame carbon, you have in mind the shame fuel, then there's no issur kosher b'menalishim. But if you're all like the Rabbanon who disagree with Rab Loza, so how are you gonna understand the Mishnah? The Gemara says the Mishnah just says you don't eat the shiori hamincha, but you don't burn it on top of the mizbech either. You burn it on the floor on the beis hadeshen. Mashirayim is pasrim on beis hadeshen. So just like Rab Loza, Rab Shimon says over there, by minchas koyin. That's a minchas choyte. So the same over here by the minchas soito. You would do the same thing. You would do when the soito is married to a kohen, you'll be duk mitza, you makta the kermits on the mizbeach, and then the rest you burn on the floor. And even though we don't accept his opinion, I feel the rabbanon, and even the rabbanon who don't accept the Rav Lozer Reb Shimon's opinion, and they hold that a minchas kohen, if he did an aver of shvus, she was bito, she was eidus. So tumas mikdash v'kadoshav. Voshal ha-koyin ka mincha has the exact same din like a mincha. They argue over there, what's pshat in the pasuk? So the rabbanon disagree. They say you treat it like a minchas nedov of the koyin, that you don't do kmitz at all. You burn the whole thing. That's over there. That's the way, because they argue with Rav Loz, Rav Shimon, how to translate pshat in the pasuk. Voshal ha-koyin ka mincha. Afil rabbanon lo plig alei de Rav Loz, Rav Shimon, alo minchas chayto shel kohanim. The basa kravahi, they hold that you burn the whole thing. That's how they translate the pasuk. Ha'isal akoyin kamincha, aminchas choyte. You have a koyin is treated the same as aminchas nandova. A koyin, you don't do kmitza. But in our case, that you have this tie to the sasri built in, the husband is a kohen and the wife doesn't have the din. So it's a tie to the sasri. On the one hand, you're not allowed to eat the shiraim because the husband is a kohen. On the other hand, the wife is a kohenes. The wife is an isha. She's not a male kohen, so she doesn't have that din. So you have to satisfy. You treat it as if it were a suffix. So you have to do kmitza, burn the kohenes, and then you're not allowed to eat the shiraim, but you don't burn it on the mizbech either. You burn it on the floor. So the Gemara says, in our case, of the woman who's married to the kohen, I feel the rabbanim, even the rabbanim, the rablos of Reb Shimon, who disagreed by the minchas chayte of the kohen, they would agree over here that you burn the rest on the floor. But not like Rab Lozer, who says that you burn the rest on the Mizbech.
Okay,
the Marochis is also a Haktorah. Yeah, it's also anything on Tata Mizbech is called Haktorah. They used to have different Marochis, different bonfires to burn different things. Yesterday's leftover Karbonis from yesterday and today's Karbonis. But bottom line, it doesn't really matter which Marochis you burn. Whatever you burn on top of the Mizbeach is called the Haktorah. So then you'll be in violation of Kol Shememen Olishim Harev, about Taktiru. Burn on the floor, so that's not, you're not Mekayim anything. Ktoiris, the Gemara has a din, the Gemara Mizbachim has a din, Mizbeach, there's a Mizbach Haktoiris inside the Hechol, and then there's a Mizbach Oila outside. It's called Mizbach Oila. You burn all the Karbanas on it, but the Chumash calls it the Mizbach Oila. You burn all the Karbanas on it. Mizbach HaKtoris, that's all you do. Every day you burn Ktoris Shal Shachar, Ktoris Shal Bein Abayim. You never use it for anything else, just Achaz Bashana. On Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol does Zrikas Hadam. From the Parvus Soyer of Yom Kippurim, he does the Zrikas Hadam on the Mizbech HaPrimi. That's once a year. The rest of the year, it's only used for Ktoris. So the Yitzhai Mizbech is called Mizbach HaKtoris. So the Gemara has a din, and the Amoraim came up with a din. Mizbech Shenekar, Mizbach HaKtoris Shenekar. How did it happen? Well, then here, the Mizbech is supposed to be over here. So somebody moved the Mizbech away. The Mizbach HaKtoris was not attached to the ground. Mizbach HaOilo was attached to the ground. It says in the end of today's Sedrin, in the end of Parshas Yisra, it says, Mizbach HaDoma Tasali, Mizbach HaDoma. So Rashi says, Mamula Badoma, it's filled in with HaDoma and it's Mechubel HaKarka. The Mizbach HaKtoris was a kli. The Mizbach HaOilo was not a kli. It's part of the binyan of the Beis HaMikdash. The shiurim for Amma were different. An Amma, there was an Amma of 6 tefachim and an Amma of 5 tefachim. So the Mishnah says that Amma shall binyan, Amma shall kli is different. So Rashi and the Mishnah in the end of Menachos points out the Mizbach HaKtoris was a kli. It was not attached to the ground. And the Mizbach HaOilo was a kli. So the shiurim of an Amma were different. Everything was different. So the Gemara has the Amoraim came up with the Chiddush Din. The Mizbach HaKtoris all year long supposed to be over here in the Hechel. Somebody went in and they moved the Mizbach HaKtoris away. So you got to move it back. They didn't move it back. So the Kohen comes in the morning with the Ktoris and he burns the Ktoris on the floor. So the Gemara says Mizbach HaKtoris Shenek Memkom Maktirim Ktoris Bimkom. You can fulfill a mitzvah by burning the Ktoris on the floor, even not Al Gabi HaMizbach. So Tosis writes in one place in Zvachim, what about outside in the Azara? Let's say you shech the carbon and then you burn the carbon on the floor. So that's a double poshet. You're not yaitzeh. You can't be makor of a carbon unless you have a mizbech. So why is it different? How come mizbech shenek, mizbach haktoris shenek, makterim haktoris, you can be makterim haktoris on the floor? And how come by the mizbach ha'ela, if it's not there, you can't be makter on the floor?
It's not the makom by the way. It's not the makom.
Why is it not the makom?
No, but by the Ktoris, by the makom. At least he's doing it by the makom.
In here?
Does the Azor, if, let's say you, the ground that was, it was there, you took away the ground over there, you did it on the floor. Without,
yeah.
Mizbeach Ola, you took away the Mizbeach Ola.
Yeah.
And you, the mound, and you just did that makom, maybe that would be good too. But still, it's in the makom, not so much the Mizbeach
Ola. No, it's no good. I thought you were going to say something else. No. This is that it's no good. So I think that the answer, the reason why it's no good, Tosis is trying to work out why is it no good. So I thought the reason why it's no good is not in the makom. The makom is supposed to be 9 amas taller. That's the makom because it's mechuba lekarka. It's not a kli. And the makom is not on the floor. If you remove the whole mizbach ha'oila and you makter on the floor, that's not the right makom. The makom is supposed to be 9 amas higher. The top of the mizbech is the floor because it's mizbach adoma, mumula badoma, and that's the correct makom. That's not the right makom. The Mizbach HaKtoris is a kli which sits on the floor. So that's what the Gemara says. If you mak the victorious bim koma, it's also good. The makam is like kitchel osi lovoi. Like the Mishnah says in the Baisheni, the Oren with the Luchas was not there. So when the Kohen Gadol went in on Yom Kippur, so what does he does the Hazoyas in front of the Oren. There is no Oren there. There is no Oren to speak of in the Baisheni. So the Mishnah says it doesn't matter. It's based on the din of Kitchel Osi Lovoi, the Mokam HaMikdosh is Kitchel Osi Lovoi, so the Mokam of the Oren is also Kitchel Osi Lovoi. Even though the Oren was somewhere else, the Oren was not there in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, but the Mokam HaOren was Kitchel Osi Lovoi, so his Mazah Kineged the Oren. So if you took away the Mizbach HaKtores from where it should be, that Mokam on the floor is still Kitchel Osi Lovoi. Not only did he say Kitchel Osi Lovoi after the Churban, Kitchel Osi Lovoi is no Churban, the Beis HaMikdash is still there, but the Oren is not there, or the Mizbach HaKtores is not there. So I say, but that location is Kitchel Osi Lovoi. But as far as the Mizbeach Achitzin is concerned, if you remove the whole Mizbeach Achitzin, you're going to be Makter Bimkomo, that's the wrong Mokum, and the Mokum is on top. The Mokum is supposed to be 9 on high. That's my shot. That's, I thought, what you were saying. That's my answer. Tosfos doesn't say that answer. So Tosfos, we have historical evidence that there used to be Makter of Korban Pesach after the Korban. They used to make a makeshift Mizbeach. Now the Mizbech in the Bai Sheni was 32 Amos by 32 Amos on the ground. It was a square, had to be a square. 32 by 32, they went up one Amos, then it went in an Amos, then it became 30 by 30. Then it went up, then it went in, it became 28 by 28. It doesn't have to be 28 by 28. It has to be a minimum of one Amos by one Amos. So they wouldn't make, the Roman soldiers would be there ready to shoot anybody. So they would quickly make a makeshift Mizbech Amma Lama anywhere within that area of 32 by 32. They would make it Memula Badoma quickly, Shech the Korban Pesach, Mizork the Dam, and then run for their lives. They would run away. That's why it was a Sofik Sakona, because the Roman police didn't allow them to be Makter. So that's how the historians explained that it was a big sakana. Some people were moise, they had like a machteret, like they have in Eretz Yisrael. After the Churban Bais Sheni, they had a machteret, a chevra. They would be medaktik to make a makeshift mizbeach quickly, and then makter the Korban Pesach, and then run away. They wouldn't make, if they make a mizbeach 32 by 32, the Roman police would catch them before they would shech the Korban Pesach. But just make an amma al amma, so that's possible to do. No. You can't bring a Korban Pesach without a Mizbech. He must have a Mizbech. No. That's only a din by Keteris. So Tosfos asks, why is Keteris different? So Tosfos thinks that there's a difference between Keteris and Mincha on the one hand, as opposed to Korbanos, Behemoth and Eifers on the other hand. So Tosfos, what do you mean a Mincha? You never makter a Mincha on the inside Mizbech. So Tosfos thinks, if you want to bring a mincha on the outside mizbech and you remove the whole mizbech, you can be makter it on the floor. That's what Tosfos Mechadish. Tosfos thinks not only mizbech haktoris shenekamim komo, you be makter the ktoris on the floor. Mincha would be the same on the outside mizbech. Only behemus and eifus not. And Abelbala Soloveitchik quotes the Tosfos. And he says he doesn't think that it's right. He doesn't think that it's correct. He thinks that it's only Keteris. He doesn't say the explanation that I said, because the floor is supposed to be over here. The top of the Mizbach Oila is the floor. 9 amas above the ground. That's the ground level. He doesn't say that. He says a different word. He says, on Yom Kippur, Zakta, the Kohen Gadol goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim and he's marked in the Melech Chofna of Keteris Amim Daka. Where? On the floor. There is no Mizbech HaKtoris. And you don't take, it's portable. The Mizbech HaKtoris is a kli, you can move it. But we don't see that he moved it into the Kodesh HaKadoshim to be makta the Ktoris Lefnai Velefnim. So you see that the Chumash tells you that once a year you burn the Ktoris on the floor. So he says, that's where the Amoraim got the idea from. You see from Yom Kippur that you can be makta the Ktoris on the floor. So who are then the Ktoris of every day? Even though it's a different din of Keteris, this is Daka Menat Daka, this is once a year. It's part of the Seder Avonis Yegurim. The other one is a din of Keteris Shal Kol Yoyim, Keteris Shal Shach, Keteris Shal Bein Abayim. But he says, the Amoraim learned it out from Keteris on Yom Kippur.
It's a Kol Shekin.
Okay, maybe it's a Kol Shekin. So he claims that it's only Ktoris by Mincha. If you Mincha, you can't bring Mincha on the Mizbech HaKtoris. You have to bring Mincha on the outside Mizbech. If the outside Mizbech was Nekem and Komo, he thinks just like Behemoth and Oifus, you have to be Makdir on a Mizbech. So a Mincha also has to be on a Mizbech. He disagrees with Tosis. Tosis thinks that the same applies to a Mincha. Pash, this is not like the Tosis. Okay, just the Gemara. Right, the Tosefta goes like Rav Elazar, you burn it on the Mizbeach. Yeah. The Rabbanim will not agree with what it says in the Tosefta. They'll agree with the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that when the husband is a Kohen and the wife is a Saita, so you don't eat the Shiraim. It doesn't say what you do. It says, Eilim in Chasem Nisrafas. You burn the whole mincha, doesn't say where you burn it. So the Tosefta claims that you burn the Shiraim on the Mizbeach. And the Gemara said that Tosefta is only according to the Tana Rav Elazar. And according to the Chachamim who disagree with Rav Elazar and Zvachim, they don't hold in this heter of Maktir L'Shem Ishim. So they'll agree with the Mishnah, you don't eat the Shiraim, but you don't burn it on top of the Mizbeach. That'll be a violation of the law Kol Shem Emen Elishim. And so they say, burn it on the floor. You can't eat it, so you burn it on the floor. It'll be a machlokes hatanaim. Where do you burn the shiraim of the mincha?
When the chatas and the ola gets mixed up together, I mean, he uses the shemates and he says, according to first time, does the balak korban of the chatas have to bring them into the chatas?
No, he's no. So let's say when you did this rikas hadam,
the kohanim are both them and the balas miskaper. So the shemates and that would satisfy the requirements of the chatas.
Yeah, the din is when you bring a korban chatas and you do this rikas hadam, you're yotzei already. Even if all the flesh gets lost. The Gemara has a lashon kohanim oichlim ubailim miskaprim. So most assume that that's lav davke. Even if the kohanim don't eat it, the bailim are miskaprim. The Gemara says, what happens if the basar is nitma or the basar is ovad and the kohanim never get to eat it? So the bailim are miskaprim anyway. So most of the rishonim assume, what if the basar of the chatas was loy nitma? And it's not Ovad, and it's sitting there, and the Kohen just decided they don't want to eat it. They don't like this man who brought the Mincha, the Chatos, and they don't want to help him out, and they're boycotting. They're not going to eat. So the Ovad, the Mevatel Mitzvah, they're supposed to eat the Bsar Chatos. What if they leave it there, they don't want to eat the Bsar Chatos. So most of the Rishonim say that the Balabos is Yotze his Chatos. If you did this Rikas Adam Yotze, there is a Gemara in Yevamos on Daf Tzadik. The Rashba quotes a Girsas HaGaonim that Kohanim Oichlim Mebalim Miskaprim is Leikuva. If the Bosar is Nitma, or if the Bosar is Ovad, and the Kohanim can't eat it, that's a different story. They don't have a mitzvah to eat it if it's Nitma or Ovad, if it got lost. But if it's sitting there, and it's Loi Nitma, Veloi Ovad, and they just sit there, and they don't want it, the Kohanim sit there, and they don't want to eat it, then the Gaonim had a Girsas in the Gemara that you're not, the Balabos is not Yotze the Mitzvah Sakrov. Yeah, but that's a believe it or not, shita. That's not the basic shita. They're supposed to eat. I mean, what if they on purpose they only ate part they didn't eat all? I don't know what the Gaina would say. I don't know. Most of the Rishonim say it's just not so. We have the other gears in the Gemara that the Kohanim Bachem Bar Miskapen just they're supposed to eat it, but the Bar Miskapen without it also. That's not the Ikuv. No, he says on Yom Kippur the makom, the correct makom is in the Kodesh HaKadoshim in front of the makom ha'aron, not in front of the aron by Shani, there was no in front of the makom ha'aron. Ketoros shel kol yom, if you burn it in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, you won't be yotzei. The correct makom is in the heichal. You can't say it's a kal v'chaim. If you burn it in the heichal, it's good. If you burn it in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, it's certainly good. It's not correct. The correct makom for the daily ketoros is on top of the Mizbach HaKtoris. But even if the Mizbach HaKtoris was removed, so the Gemara says, if you burn on the floor, you would be Yotze. So he claims that's what you learn out from Yom Kippur. The Kohen Gadol burns the Khtaris, the Melech Hofner, Khtaris HaMedaka, on the floor, So you see that the Mizbeach is not Miyakim, but you need the correct Mokum. So on Yom Kippur, the correct Mokum is there, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Every day, the correct Mokum is the Mokum of the Mizbeach HaPnimi. So now the Mishnah is giving us all the differences between men and women. So it says, a Kohen, a male Kohen who brings a Mincha, you don't even do Kmitza at all. You burn the whole thing. A woman who's a Kohenes, let's say she's not married. A woman who's a Kohenes, she brings a Mincha, you do Kmitza, and you, the Zichri Kuna will eat the Shirayim. Here you have a complicated case. The woman is a Soitan, she's married to a Kohen. So on the one hand, he's the Bala Karman, on the other hand, she's the Bala Karman. So we had a whole, it's an Andreiganist case. So we had a whole discussion how you resolve the issue. But if it's a normal case, so the Mishnah draws the contrast. Minchas, ma ben koin l'koin. Let's go back to the Mishnah. It's about seven lines from the top of Chav Gimel Amud Aleph. So the Mishnah continues, ma ben koin l'koin. What are some of the differences? The Mishnah does not give you a full list. What are some of the differences between a male kohen and a female kohen? So number one, minchas kohenes necheles. A female kohen, a bas kohen, brings a mincha. So you do kmitza, you burn the kohenets, and the shirayim is nechel. And minchas kohen ain't necheles. Minchas kohen, you don't do kmitza at all, you burn the whole thing. Kohenes mischaleles, v'kohen ain't mischalel. Let's say a kohenes is living with a goy. So she becomes a halola. She becomes a halola. Let's say the kohen is living with a goya. So does he become a halol? He doesn't become a halol. Calls man that, let's say a kohen is a mishnah in b'chayrus. A kohen marries a grusha. So we don't allow him to be makriv karbonis in the Beis HaMikdash while he's married to the grusha. So we insist he has to divorce her. And he has to swear that he's never going to marry a grusha again. And if he really wants to be makriv karbonis today, let's say today's Shabbos, he can't give a get today, or it's getting late in the day, so the Mishnah says, you make him take a shvua, he's going to divorce his wife, the grusha, and he's never going to marry another grusha, and then even though he didn't divorce her yet, so we allow him to be makriv the karbonis already now. So the Poshib Shat in the Mishnah is that that's only a din with the Rabbanon. We penalize him. If a kohen violates the dinim of kahuna, let's say a kohen goes to the cemetery. Can I get a din? He's not allowed to go to the cemetery. Or the kohen is married to a grusha. So any kohen who violates isuri kahuna, temporarily we treat him at the rabbanon as if he were a cholol. He really isn't a cholol. That's the Mishnah. Kohen ainim is cholol. The kohen doesn't become a cholol. There's a pirush arayvid on the Torah's kohanim, which is really written by the Ravid. The Pirush HaRavid, that's HaMaseches Tomid, printed on Mishnayos. That's Miyuchas LaRavid. Everybody knows that that's not written by the Ravid. But the Pirush HaRavid on the Teras Kohanim is by the famous Ravid, by the regular Ravid Bala HaSogas. So the Ravid writes there, beginning of Parshas Emor, that this din, that a Kohen who's married to a Grusha, married to a Gioris, whatever, calls man, that he's married to her, he's not allowed to be makir of karbanon, he's not allowed to get the first aliyah, and he's not allowed to duchen, and so on and so forth, he's not allowed to do pinyin aben. He holds that that's a din deraisa, that it's a temporary din of chalolos. Very difficult.
But then he takes it away. When he divorces her, he takes away.
But how can it be
she
a din?
She can never take away. If she lived with a guy, she's in the chalolos long for
it. Right. So she's nivala to the puzzle. Yeah, but it's very strange, the rabbi. His opinion is not accepted. Very strange rabbi. And what does it help if he takes the shvuah? Let's say he didn't give her the get yet. He didn't yet divorce the grusha, but he takes the shvuah. He's going to divorce her. He's never going to marry another grusha. So the Mishnah said, "Does again."
Or how he can, never divorces her, so the Rabban
is not the. How can it be? So we don't accept that. Right? We usually assume it's only the Rabban. That's why there's a Mishnah Brura quotes is a big machlokes hagaonim. The Beis Yosef quotes a machlokes hagaonim. That Mishnah in Bchoris that says if the kohen is matami lemeisim shaloi kedin. If the coin is noisy noshim ba'averu shaloi kedin, so the Mishnah only has this. We assume a penalty in the rabbanon. We don't allow him to miyakir of karbonis. What about getting the first aliyah? Also, we penalize him. What about duchening? Also, we penalize him. So that's a big machlokes in the ge'onim, and the majority of the ge'onim hold no. Ge'onim going to hold that the penalty is only as far as hakrovas karbonis is concerned. The penalty didn't go as far as getting the first aliyah. And duchening. So that's what the Mishnah Brura says. He's surprised that the Mechaber paskens l'chumra. He said, if you look in the Beis Yosef, the Mechaber wrote the Beis Yosef, the Likut of the sources on the Torah. You look in the Beis Yosef, the majority of the Goyim hold that this penalty with the Rabbanim is only instituted with respect to Hakrovas HaKarbonos. They never instituted with respect to getting the first Aliyah. So he's surprised why in the Shulchan Aruch Rabbi Yosef Karo was Machriya that you shouldn't allow him to get the first Aliyah either if the Kohen is in violation of the Dinim. That's what I once told over there was a Kohen was married to a non-Jewish woman. Kohen was married to a non-Jewish woman. So so one rabbi said he's not married. The Ein Kiddushin Tofsin. If a Kohen marries a Grusha, he has to give her a get. Kiddushin Atofsin between a Kohen and Grusha. Chavilam. So a Kohen is married to a Grusha. He's not allowed to duchen. You're not allowed to get the first time. Kohen is married to a Goya. So the din is Ein Kiddushin Tofsin. So he's not married to the Goya. Pshetl. So the other rabbi that was the Lubavitcher rabbi in the village happened. The Lubavitcher rabbi said like that. The other rabbi said, what are you talking about? It doesn't matter whether he's married. He's not married. He's in violation of the din. So he's not allowed to duchen. The pashtus is, if you look at the beginning of Parshas Semor, it has the special dinim for the Kohanim. So it says, not allowed to be mitavel mesim, not allowed to marry a grusha. Then it says, he's not allowed to shave with a razor. We're not allowed to shave. I'm not a kohen. We're not allowed to shave with a razor either. But if a kohen shaves with a razor, he's in violation of an added avera. It's one of these suri kuhuna. So the pashtus says, if a kohen shaves with a razor, he's not allowed to duchen either. He's not allowed to get the first aliyah either. He's in violation of a kedush, a kahuna dikadin. A kahuna dikadin. The Gemara says so beferish. The Gemara says, when you have to shave, when a mitzvah becomes tohor, and you have to shave off all the hair, so if he's a kohen and he's shaving off all the hair, not only are you allowing him to shave with a razor, the Yisrael dikadin, he's in violation of an added Yisrael of kedoshim yilalakeim of kohanim. Because by Kohanim, it's one of the dinam of Kahuna. You're not allowed to shave with a razor. So there was a big Talmud Chacham in Paris. He just died young a couple of years ago. Rabbi Bo. The Sfardish Talmud Chacham.
Rabbi Bo.
So I think he learned in Panovich, if I'm not mistaken. He was supposed to be a big Talmud Chacham. So he printed a whole Dvar Torah. I didn't read it. He claimed, like this Lubavitcher rabbi, he said that the only time we penalize the Kohen and we don't allow him to duchen, to get the first aliyah, and so on, is only if he violates an itza which is only unique to Kohanim. But if he's living with a nachris that no one's allowed to do, so that even though there is an added itza for the Kohanim to live with a nachris, that's a zayna, din of a zayna. But since that din applies to everybody, so you don't have the penalty. I didn't read the Dvar Torah, but just intuitively, I didn't think it was right at all. He said that he had a lot of rights, that it was so.
Let's say this Kohen is married to a Grusha, so he's a Kohen, he can't service the status of the Kohen. Can he be Metallic to Mason now?
No. The Pashtus is that the Cholol is only with the Rabbanon. Even according to the Ravid, that it's a temporary Chalolus Menatera, I don't think so. But we don't hold like that Ravid. We hold it's only a Dim with the Rabbanon. We treat him like a Cholol with the Rabbanon as a penalty. But the Minatari is a full-fledged Kohen, so he's not allowed to be a Metamel Mason. So that's what the Mishnah is giving you the differences, that a Kohen, a male Kohen, who brings a Mincha, you don't do a Kmitza at all. If a Kohenus brings a Mincha, you do Kmitza, and the rest is Nechel. A Kohen who lives with a Grusha Kohen, lives with a Nochris, does not become Mischalal permanently, he becomes Mischalal temporarily, we assume it's a Rabbanon. A woman, a Kohenus who lives with a Nochri becomes Mischalelis. She's Asurali Olam. She becomes Ois Kohenus. The Gemara, in fact, has a strange din. The Gemara says in the end of Pcheres, if a Kohen or a Levi has a firstborn child, so they don't do Pidyon Aben, because the child isn't going to be a Kohen or a Levi. What if the husband is Nishkan Kohen, Nishkan Levi, but the wife is Kohenus Olavia? So since Bepet Terechim Tola Rachmano, so if the even though the child mishpacha sabkriim mishpacha mishpacha semenikri mishpacha, if the father is not a kohen, not a levi, the child is not going to be a kohen or a levi. But still, if the mother is a kohenus or a leviya, so there's no din opinion out there. That's the maskanas haGemara. So then the Gemara says, but what happens? Unfortunately, every case comes up. What happens if the father of the baby is an achri, and a kohenus is living with a goy, and they have a baby? So the Gemara says the Kohenus is Mischalelis. By living with the Goy, she becomes Mischalelis. And by the time the baby is born, So she's not a Kohenis anymore. So you can't say Bepeterechem Tala Rachmana. Fine, Bepeterechem, but she's no longer a Kohenis. But if she's a Leviya living with a Goy, I think we spoke about it last week, no? But if she's a Leviya who's living with a Goy, so then the Gemara says she doesn't lose her Kedushas Leviya. And when the baby's born, the mother is Bepeterechem on the mother's a Leviya, so the child will not need Pidyon HaBen. So it's paradoxical. If the mother's a Kohenis, she's living with a Goy, she becomes Ice Kohenis. And the baby will need Pidyon HaBen. If the mother's a Leviya, she lives with a Goy, so she bleibt a Leviya, and the baby, Bepeterechem HaTalach Mana, the baby will not need any Pidyon HaBen. That's what it says in the Gemara. That's what it says in the Gemara. He is allowed to duchen. The Rambam writes the only averis that prevent them from duchening murder. Or if he violates the kahuna digadinim. But if he violates the other dinim, we do encourage him that he should duchen. And the Rambam says, ah, you'll ask a question, how valuable can his blessing be? What? How holy a tzaddik is a balavera? So the Rambam says, the bracha comes from the Rebbeinu Shlom. The bracha doesn't come from the kohen. He just recites psukim. Yivarechach Hashem. The kohen says the Rebbeinu Shlom should give you a bracha. The Rebbeinu Shlom is giving the bracha, not the kohen. So the Shabbos Mechal Shabbos Befarhesia. That's the Shabbos Mechal Shabbos Befarhesia has a din dino ka'akum. That's the Gemara Chulin. If you do any other avera, so you're not dino ka'akum unless you violate rov din hatorah that you're aware of. Let's say a person only knows 25 mitzvahs. Never heard of Shulah HaKan. Never heard of so many mitzvahs people never heard of. From the 25 mitzvahs that he knows of, he violates 13 out of 25. So if he's a mumah, the Rav Dina HaTorah says Dina Ka'akum. What if he's only a mumah, the Din Echad? Mumah, the Dover Echad? So is he Dina Ka'akum? So that's what the Gemara singles out. There are two specific averes. If he's mumah, the Avodah Zarah, Dina Ka'akum. Of his mumah lechal Shabbos beferhesia is also dina kachum. So the Mishnah Berurah has a chiddush that if a kohen is a mumah lechal Shabbos beferhesia dina kachum, so we wouldn't permit him to duchen either. He's not allowed to duchen because how can he be a kohen if he's dina kachum? In order to be a kohen, you have to first be a human being, and then you have to be Jewish, then you have to be shevet Levi, then on top of that you have to be a kohen. But if his kedushas Yisrael is incomplete because he's a mumah lechal Shabbos beferhesia. Dina Ka'akum, so then his Kedusha's Kuna can't be complete. But all of the recent poskim say, the Binyan Sion, Bianca Vetlinger, in the late 1800s, and the Chazon Ish, and many in between, they all write that this concept of Mechal Shabbos Befehesi, Dina Ka'akum, rarely applies Bizman Hazeh. It only applies if the overwhelming majority of the community are Shomrei Shabbos, and this fellow is breaking the discipline, and he's being Mechal Shabbos, does say Befarhesia. Doesn't say Mechal Shabbos Bemezid Dina Ka'akum. It has to be Bemezid square. Bemezid, very much Bemezid. Mechal Shabbos Befarhesia means he's not, the Gemara says, the guy's Mechal Shabbos, he doesn't care about anybody. But when the chief rabbi walks by, then he hides the fact. He's embarrassed. So the Gemara says he's not Dina Ka'akum Shabbos Befarhesia. At least he has respect for someone from representing the Jewish religion. So Mechal Shabbos Befehesia Bizman Hazeh doesn't fit in. What do you mean? The overwhelming majority of Jews are not Shomer Shabbos today. So how can you say that the fellow's Mechal Shabbos Befehesia, that he's breaking the discipline in the community? Maybe in Williamsburg, maybe in Monroe, maybe in there's some, it depends which communities. Okay, that's another consideration. That's in Italy. That was in Trieste. They had the minig. Only one kohen said Yivrech Hashem Yishmerecha. The others stood with their hands up, and they were yotze with shemei kohenim. So many gedolim held that that's not right. That you shouldn't say shemei kohenim. Beis Halevi and others said you can't say shemei kohenim by duchening. The kohen has to say anazam. So what were they doing there in Trieste? What they have this strange minig? That's what the latest farm write. They didn't want the Kohanim to say the bracha shekidushan b'kedushas shel Aaron. A lot of them were halolim. A lot of them were mechal Shabbos b'fehesia. But they still told everybody to go up, stand there. at least those who are kohanim, they shouldn't marry grusha. They shouldn't be metame and mason. The one thing mechazik, the institution of kohuna. But they taught a lot of them, they didn't want to make a whole ruckus. They didn't want to start hustling everybody up. So they told everybody should stand there, and only one of them, who's a badek kohen kosher, he should say the brach and he should say the duchening, and the other should yitzvah yitzvah with the shemek kohen. That's how they explain why they had such a practice in Italy. Yeah. Then Nachum also, the Mishnah is listing out differences between a male kohen and a female kohen. Kohenes can be mischalelis. If she lives with a goy, she loses the kedushas kuna. If a kohen lives with a goy and then he gets rid of her and he swears he's not going to live again, he's not mischal. Kohenes metame lemeis, man a kohen metame lemeis. A male kohen is not allowed to go to a funeral unless it's one of the seven relatives, as opposed to a bas kohen is permitted to go to a funeral.
But can sometimes a child born from a kushya Is a cholo.
Chol means emptied out, empty space. Cholo means vacuum.
Yeah, well,
he's emptied out from kedushas kuna. If a kohen marries a grusha and they have a child, a boy or a girl, so the child is a cholo or a chalala.
That a kohen could be considered a cholo. You know, the Mishnah is saying that.
The father does not become chol.
The Mishnah doesn't talk about that part.
Right, it's learned that. The Gemara was going to say it's learned that from that pasuk. V'lo yichal zar biyamov. The children will become chalolim if the koy marries the grusha or gioris. The children will become chalolim. The father will not become a chol. The children will become chalolim. Once the child is born a chalol, then the child is allowed to be metame lemeisa. The child doesn't get the first aliyah. Chol means emptied out kedushas kuna. And the daughter is going to be a halala. Halala can't marry a kohen. A Yisraelis can marry a kohen, but a halala is not allowed to marry a kohen. And the halala goes over, his children are also going to be halala. You don't just say, ois kohen and goodbye, so he's the same as a normal Yisrael. It's not a normal Yisrael. The halala marries a regular girl, his children are going to be halala. Just like if the father is a kohen or a Levi Yisrael, the mishpachosim leveis avosim goes over to the children. So if the father's a cholol, that's a status. So that goes over to all of the children. It goes over the doire doris. You're never going to end the cholols. You have to keep track. What's another difference between koyin and koyinus? The Mishnah has koyin echol bekotchim kotchim, and koyinus achelus bekotchim kotchim. A koyin is allowed to eat bisar chatos, bisar osham, oshiori hamincho. These are all kotchim kotchim. And Kohenes is not only zichre kuna are allowed. Non-zichre kuna not allowed to eat the kotchi kotchi. Now the Mishnah stam is drawing distinctions between Jewish men and Jewish women with respect to other areas of halacha. We finished with the Kohen. The Mishnah should have said more differences. A Kohenes cannot be makor korbanos in the base hamikdash, only a kohen. That's what Tosis adds on the Lamed Beis. The Mishnah in Kiddushin has like that on Daf Lamed Vav. So why didn't the Mishnah put it all together? We don't know. Yeah. So the Mishnah now goes, what are other differences? Ma bein ish liisha, what are other differences? So one difference is, ish parei ofore mein ish parasu foremes. If a man or a woman is a mitzoyro, and the kohen declares that he's a mitzoyro, a person is a tomi meis, he becomes tomi meis automatically. Go to a funeral. Person becomes a balkeri, a zava zava, yoledes, a nido, happens automatically. Mitzoyro is the only one that it depends on the psak of the kohen. Calls man the kohen doesn't declare that he is tamei, he remains tohar. The same thing, once he became tamei, he remains tamei until he goes through the whole ceremony, then the kohen has to paskan tohar. If he doesn't have a kohen at the end, to paskan tohar, he'll remain a mitzor li'olavoy, he'll remain tamei li'olavoy. So the din is calls man a man, the pasuk speaks about ish o isha, a man or a woman who has a negat saras, has a tumas saras, if the kohen declares that he's a mitzor. So one of the dinim is, if it's a man, he's parea uforeim. Foreim, begod of yufrumim, veroshi yefarua. Begod of yufrumim means that begodim has to rip kriya. The man who's a mitzora has to rip kriya. Some say it's not exactly so. The Torah Tamima has a chiddush on chumash. He says, let's say a relative dies, and the surviving relative is cheap. He doesn't want to rip kriya. So he takes an old jacket that he ripped kriya 10 years ago when someone else died, he puts on the jacket today. So the Gemara says he's a faker, he's gozel as hachayim v'es hamesim. He's fooling the public into believing that he fulfilled kriya. and he's cheating the mace, the nifta. He didn't rip kriya for him. It's not so complicated. All he has to do is rip another little mashahu. The din is you don't have to rip kriya all over again. If you have a beged that you once ripped kriya with, so you just do a tosefes kolshu and you use it. But the Gemara says, hayotze bebeged karua, one who puts on an old beged that was already torn previously. He didn't rip it for this mace, for the one that has it goes over sachaim with that mace. So the Torah Tmeima suggests, he quotes it from earlier, from Svarim, that by the Mitzorah, it doesn't say that he has to rip kriya. It says, God of you, Furumin. He has to walk around with torn begodim. So even if the beged was torn for some other purpose, he claims the Chiddush, it doesn't have to be rit l'shem kach because he is a Mitzorah. If he has an old beged, he's yaitze with that also. So that's God of you, Furumin. The Mitzorah, the male Mitzorah has to walk around with begodim that are torn. A woman who is a Mitzorah, a woman who loses a relative has to rip kriya also. Mar just says she shouldn't expose her body. So she should wear a sweater on top or something or turn it around. But a woman who's a Mitzoraz doesn't have to rip her begodim at all. The din doesn't apply to women based on the pasuk. And then Varsha Yefarua, they're not allowed to tisporis is also. A Mitzoraz is not allowed to take a haircut. Just like an oval is not allowed to take a haircut. So that din, Varsha Yefarua, doesn't apply to women. When a woman is noig tumas tzaraz, she doesn't have these two dinim of priya frima. Then another din, huish mader is beno benozim, and isha mader is beno benozim. If the couple has a child who's before bar mitzvah, so the father has a special din, only the father, not the mother, has a right to declare on his son, not on the daughter, I hereby declare that you should be a nozir, and the child has to observe all the laws of naziris, and the father has to bring a korban when the 30 days of however long it is, a year, 2 years, however long he was mekabel that in naziris. It's a minimum of 30 days. There's no maximum. So the child has to observe naziris. So that's a special din. Only a father with a son, the father with a daughter doesn't apply, and the mother with the children also not. So that's a machloikis in the Gemara Nozir. What is that based on? So that's a machloikis of Biachan of Rish Lakish. So Rish Lakish says it's only midin chinuch midirabanan. The whole thing is only midirabanan. The Gemara says, how can it be midirabana? But the father brings a korban at the end of the 30 days of the Naziris. Isn't there a din of chulam bazar? How can you bring a korban if the kid is not a nozim in atar? It's only a make-believe nozim in the rabbanon. So the Gemara says, Ksav Reish Lakish, Reish Lakish thinks, the whole prohibition of bringing chulam bazar is only in the rabbanon. And over here, they allow you to bring it. Itam chinuch, they allow you. And we don't accept Reish Lakish's opinion. We follow Rabbi Yochanan. Usually when there's a machlekes Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, we usually follow Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan holds over here that it's halacha l'moshe misinai. This whole din, that the father of mother is beno benozir, only the father with the son, the mother not, and the daughter not, it's not a din mitam chinuch midirabbana. It's a din halacha l'moshe misinai, that the father has the ability to declare the son as a nozir. The din only applies kol zman the child is before bar mitzvah, after he reaches bar mitzvah. So let's say, the father, the kid is going to be bar mitzvah next Shabbos. Next week is going to become it. So the father says on the kid, hereby declare he should be a nozir. So the kid only has to observe it till he's bar mitzvah. Once he's bar mitzvah, the whole naziris is up. The father's nishken balabas on the son after his bar mitzvah. Only up until the bar mitzvah.
For that father, she brought the father, which is son Shmuel.
Yeah. Well, Shimshon, the Gemara says, Hamalach Yidiro. That was a different story. Hamalach Yidiro. I don't know. Shmuel, I don't know. Maybe the father declared him as an Ozzy. Yeah.
He agreed.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess so. I guess we have to assume that the father declared him as an Ozzy. So this is another difference between a man and a woman. The father can declare that the son is a nozer up until bar mitzvah. The mother cannot declare that. Another din hilchus naziris. If the father was machal Shabbos and he sets aside a korban chatas and he dies, you can't be makar of the chatas, chatas shemesa b'alei, you're not makar of it. What if the son was also machal Shabbos? They're machal Shabbos together. Machal Shabbos together. And the father set aside a chatas and he died. So the son can't bring the father's chatas. The father set it aside for his chil Shabbos. The son wants to use it not for his chil Shabbos. It's the wrong averus. So here, there's an unusual din. Ha'ish megalech al naziris aviv. The father and the son are both nazirim. The father set aside the karbonis and he didn't have an opportunity to bring them yet. either the 30 days were not yet up and he died, or the 30 days were up and he just didn't bring the karbanos. That's the karbanos hanging around. Better yet, Tosis quotes the Gemara, he set aside money. He didn't even set aside karbanos. He set aside most stumim. He set aside $150 to bring all the karbanos. So then when the father dies and the son is also a nazir, the son can use that money for the purpose of his karbanos. This is also the Gemara says, halacha l'moshe misinai. There's no way that we can understand. Al pi halacha, it shouldn't be so. Since the money was set aside for the father's karbanos, shouldn't be able to use it for the son's karbanos. So that's a special din that habei megalech hanazir asavi. So that's only ha'ish megalech if the son is a nazir. What if the father dies and he leaves a daughter, and the daughter was mekabel then in the zira? It says, ha'chomish ha'isha ha'isha. A woman can also be in the zira. A lot of Mishnah is about it, Psukim about it. So that din doesn't apply if it's a father and a daughter, or a mother and a daughter doesn't apply. Only a special din, Allah ibn Az, Allah l'mashim, only the father and the son. Ain ish megalechas on the zira savir. Who ish mekadosh is bito, the father has the right to marry off his daughter up until the age of 12 and a half. Up until the age of 12, she's a ketana, and then the first 6 months between 12 and 12 and a half, she's a naira, and then when she reaches 12 and a half, she's a bogeres, she's yotze mishu savir. That's what the Mishnah in the end of the Dorim refers to as a yisoyme b'chay yavir. The father's still alive, but we treat her as if she's a yisoyme. She's not mishu savir anymore. I remember I once asked on a bechina, what's a yisoyme b'chay yavir? So one of the students answered, the mother died and the father's still alive. That's true. That's yisoyme b'chay yavir. The mother died, the father's still alive. But I wanted a technical term, yisoyme b'chay yavir. So the Mishnah in the end of Nedarim has, if the girl becomes a bogeris, the father and the mother are both alive. The girl reaches the age of 12 and a half, she's not Pishu Savir. So the Mishnah calls this a Yisayma B'chayavi. We treat her as if she were a Yisayma, she's not Pishu Savir anymore. The father's going to pay for her tuition, everything, he's going to take care of her clothing and everything, but Al Pidin, she's not Pishu Savir anymore. So the father can marry off his daughter till the age of 12 and a half. But the mother cannot. And Isha Mekadesh says, Bita, the mother cannot marry off.
So also, if he marries her off and her husband dies, so she's also Yisayim
B'chayavir. Also, after Nisuin. After he had Nisuin, then she's also Yisayim B'chayavir. Those are the two cases the Mishnah has. Either Bogeris or Nisuin. Another din, Ho'ish Mecher is Bita, and Isha Mecher says, Bita. The Torah gives a parsha and mishpatim. The father has the right. It has to be a screwy, I'm sure, and a father. He has no money, so he sells his daughter as an Amo Hivriya. Which normal father would do it? You're not allowed to do it, but the Torah gives him the right to do it. Ho'ish mecher is bito. The father has the right to sell his daughter. Ho'ish mecher is bito. The mother has no right to sell her daughter. What about if people did an avera and they deserve skila? So a woman also gets skila, but there's a difference in the detail. Ho'ish niskal orim and ho'ish niskal saruman. That's a machlokes hatanoim in Sanhedrin. Not everybody agrees. So this Mishnah holds that when a man gets skila, we take off all of his clothes, so he will die faster. He's going to be padded with clothing, so he's going to suffer agony, he's going to suffer pain, because it's going to take him longer till he dies. But women would rather suffer the pain than suffer the humiliation of standing, of being undressed in front of the public. So the Gemara learns that from Psukim. What there are rare cases where the Torah says kiyeh b'ish chet mishpat mavis v'humas. Sometimes a person gets skila and v'saliso asaleitz after he's dead. We don't have such a thing as death by hanging. When they killed Jesus, so he was crucified. That's not for Dar Mrs. Bezim. So whoever crucified him, that wasn't one of the Mrs. Bezim. The Gemara says they killed someone by the name of Yoshke because he was a Mesis and Mediach. But they wouldn't give him crucifixion. That's the Roman way of killing people. So we don't have death by hanging either. We have a din that there's a machloek in Satanaim. One opinion is that kol hanis kolim nitlim, whoever gets skila, you have to hang him up after he's dead already. You have to be mevaza him, hang him up on a pole and take him down. They would just hang him up for 5 minutes and take him down right away. They wouldn't be mevaza him all day long. And the other accepted opinion, the generally accepted opinion, is only oibed avid izara and Birchas Hashem. One who curses Hashem or one who worships Avodah Zarah. These two have Taliyah, and all the other Niskalim don't have Taliyah. So this whole din of Tliya by only applies to a man. If a man was Ovid Avodah Zarah, or Mevarches Hashem, Mevarches Hashem is a euphemism, it means Mekalas Hashem, doesn't mean Mevarches Hashem. So the Megadeh for the Ovid Avodah Zarah, if it's a man, he gets Skila, and after he's dead, then you do Tliya. And Anuisha Nitlis, by women, you just give the Skila, and you don't do the Tliya. Uish Nimka Big Nevasa, by Anuisha Nimkaris Big Nevasa, if a man steals, and he doesn't have enough money to pay back the Karen. If he paid the Karen, he doesn't pay the Kefal. You don't sell it. But if he doesn't have any money to pay for the Karen, so then it depends. You can't sell him for less than 6 years. So if you'll sell him for 6 years, that's way more than the whole Geneva, then you don't sell him at all. But if he stole so much and he doesn't have any money to give back, that if you sell him for 6 years, you get the money and you pay back the Geneva. Then huish nimka b'gnevasa. Then you sell him as an eved ivri, machruhu bezdin. And if a woman gamved so much and she doesn't have money to pay back, so you tell her to pay, but you don't sell her as an omah ivri. There's no such thing as a woman being sold b'nimka b'gnevasa. So on all of these dinim, yeah, that's the only one you have. The father can sell a daughter as an omah ivri. Can a woman mocher atzmo? A man can sell himself as an Eved Ivri. Can a woman sell herself as an Amo Hevriya? The father can sell a daughter as an Amo Hevriya. Can a woman who's an adult sell herself? So the Rambam says, no, there's no such thing. And the Ramban picks on the Rambam. What did he make up a new din? So usually the Rambam is, usually they're difficult Rambams. This Rambam is an often a Gemara. So nobody understands why the Ramban was picking on the Rambam. Usually the Rambam's Ashver, and the Raivit is Masi, usually the Raivit is right whenever he's Masi. Usually the Ramban picks it, usually the Ramban is right. This is Ashver Ramban. This is a Beferi Shigimar, that a woman cannot sell herself as an Amo Ivriya. Just the father sells the daughter as an Amo Ivriya. In that rare case. Right, when she becomes 12. Right. She's Yotze Lecheres at the age of 12. Why not? No. According to the Rambam, she can, no, not at all. According to the Rambam, no, when a woman is an adult, she's 30, 40, whatever, she wants to sell herself as an Amo Ivriya. No, that's the father only has shlita over the daughter when she reaches 12, so she's partially Yotze Meshus Avia. When she reaches 12 and a half, she's Legamer Yotze Meshus Avia. When she reaches 12, she's Yotze Meshus Avia a little bit. So the father can no longer sell her as an Amo Ivriya. But let the woman have the ability at the age of 40 to sell herself as an Amo Ivriya. So the Ramban claims that she can, and the Rama has an offer in Gemara that she can.
Can a Bedin sell her the same way like an Eved Ivri?
So the Mishnah says, no, that's the last deal in the Mishnah. Ho'ish nimka b'gnei v'asai, v'lein ho'ish nimkeres b'gnei v'asai. If a woman robbed a lot of money, the Bedin cannot sell her as an Amo Ivriya. Only if a man stole and he doesn't pay back. So all this dinim, the Gemara is going to learn that from Psukim. Okay.
So the Shestin, let's happen if the Gero has not a father. She wants to get married. Who may see her to her?
She wants to get married.
Yeah, there's no father.
There's no father. So Bismara Gemara, they used to get married at a very young age. So they made a takanim of the Rabbanim that the mother and the brothers, if the brothers are bar mitzvah, the mother and the brothers can marry her off if the girl's agreement, if the girl agrees. If she says she's not happy, then she breaks up the marriage.
But she
doesn't have a brevet. No, she does have a brevet. Then the mother or the brothers marry her off, yeah, only if she agrees. And if she, 5 years later, they marry her off, let's say, when she's 6 years old. And then 5 years later, she says, I'm no longer happily married. I don't like my husband. So she just breaks up the marriage. She doesn't need any get. That's called miyun. If the father married her off, she's married menatera, so she needs a get menatera. But if the mother or the brothers married her off, then the whole marriage is only midirabbanon. So then they made a takana that she can be memayin. She goes in front of a bezin and she says, "I don't like my husband," and goodbye. And that breaks up the marriage. That's miyun. Yeah. Okay. We'll in that next week. We'll go through the Tosfos. The Gemara doesn't really add anything about it. Gocho's quotes the psukim. But the Tosfos on Amud Beis, Ma Bin Ish L'Ish, the quotes the Tosefta, that has more differences. So some of them are relevant, Halacha L'Maisa. And this week's Sedra, of course, we have the Aseres HaDibrois. So the Gemara points out that there's a major difference in the Lashon of the Aseres Adibris between the first two and the last eight. The first two, the Rabbanu Shlomo is speaking himself, Anochi Hashem Elokecho, Asher Hatzeisicho Me'eretz Mitzrayim. The Rabbanu Shlomo is talking directly. Lo Yelocho Elohim Acherim Al Ponai. He's speaking directly. Ki Anochi Hashem Elokecho, Ki Elkana. L'shomrei mitzvoy soy, l'sonoy. Rabbanu Shlomo is talking. Those the Rabbanu Shlomo himself said. You start from the third of the Aseres Adibras. It's Moshe Rabbeinu speaking about the Rabbanu Shlomo in third person. L'sisa, it doesn't say L'sisa Shmi L'Hashem. It says L'sisa Shem Hashem Elokecha L'Hashem. Kilo, it doesn't say Kilo Anake. It says Kilo Anake Hashem. It says Isha Shemo. It doesn't say Shmi. So all of the others is Moshe Rabbeinu's Lashon. The first two, HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks directly, and the other eight, Moshe Rabbeinu speaks. That's why the Mishnah Brura quotes, the Kaddish is composed in Aramaic. So the first two words in Aramaic should be Yizgadal, Yizkadash. So the Mishnah Brura quotes from the Vilna Goyen, the Nusach HaGroi is based on the Rakeach, that there are 10 praises of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yizgadal, Yizkadash, Yishtabach, Yisparv, Yishramam, Yisnasei, Yisadar, Yisalei, Yisalol, I left one out. There are 10. Okay. So the first two, the Rekech has Al-Pi Kabbal, Rekech has a commentary on the Siddur. So every word in the Siddur, he has Torah, he has paragraphs to explain every word. So he claims that the 10 praises of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Kaddish correspond to the 10 of the Aseres Adibris. The first two, Anochi V'lichov B'Pi HaGvura Sheminim, so those two should be separated from the other eight. So we say in the beginning, he's Gadal, he's Kadash, and he recommends the first two should be recited in Hebrew, as opposed to Aramaic. So that's the Nusach HaGro. The Gro followed the Rekeach, so he said, he's Gadal, he's Kadash. Instead of Aramaic would have been, he's Gadal, he's Kadash. So the Gro followed that. There's a rabbi in Baltimore put out a book where he writes about Minig Litter. So he writes, in Lithuania, even in Radin, where the Chavetz Chaim was the Rosh Yeshiva, nobody said Nusach HaGro. In Valojin, they daven Nusach HaGro. But by the Balabatim, in all the yeshivas, no one said Yizgadel, Yizgadesh. And after the war, people were trying to reconstruct life in the Lithuanian yeshivas, what it was like. So they looked in the Mishnah Brura and they instituted everything like it says in Mishnah Brura. It says, Anechte Getok. He says, he learned this. It was written by an American rabbi who learned in Telos for 8 years. So he writes that he doesn't remember, and all the people he spoke to, nobody remembers that. And later, nobody said Yizgadel, Yizgadesh. No one said Nusach HaGro. But that, the Mishnah Berurah says that. So people thought that the Mishnah Berurah is representing what the meaning was in Litter. It says, Dorach HaShulchan always represents the meaning in Litter. Mishnah Berurah just writes, just totally ignores what the meaning used to be. So the Gemara has a comment. The Gemara says in the end of Makkos that there were 613 mitzvahs. How did they come to such a number, 613? Because the Pasuk says, Torah Tzivolana Moshe, Moshe Rabbeinu instructed us Torah. Tav Vav Reish Hei is the Gematria 611. So Moshe Rabbeinu taught us 611 mitzvahs, and the first two, Anochi V'Lielecho, the first two of the Aseres Adibras, the Rabbanu Shalom conveyed to us directly. So if you add together 611 plus these two, Anochi V'Lielecho, that adds up to 613. That's how we established that there were 613 mitzvahs. So the Rambam quotes this Gemara, and he kindness against the Halachas Gedolos. The Rambam wrote a Sefer Mitzvahs, well, he tries to figure out which are the 613 mitzvahs. So the Rambam says the first mitzvah starts with the mitzvah sesei, then he has the mitzvah slo sesei, 248 mitzvah sesei, 365 mitzvah slo sesei. So he said the first mitzvah sesei is to believe in the existence of God. The second mitzvah sesei is to believe Hashem Echad, that there's only one God, monotheism. There's not one to one God. But the first mitzvah sesei, to believe in God. So the halachas gedolos didn't count, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, it didn't count that. So the Rambam said, isn't it against the Gemara? The Gemara says you have 611, Torah Tzivulot HaMoshe, Torah 611, and Anochi V'Lilecho is another one and another one. It's two. So you see Anochi is one of the mitzvahs, one of the 613 mitzvahs. So the Ramban comes to defend the Halachas Gedolos. So he tines, it doesn't make any sense to include Anochi Hashem Elokecha as a mitzvah. How can God command us to believe in God? If someone doesn't believe in God, so there's nobody there to command you to believe in Him. Either you believe or you don't believe. We believe because we have a historical tradition. We have a historical tradition. There were millions of Jews that Har Sinai, the millions of Jews witnessing all the Esamakas and Kriyas Yamsa and Maimon HaSin and everything. It's a historical tradition. Not, we don't believe in God because God commanded us to believe in Him. If there's no mitzvah, so there's no mitzvah. That's the Loshon HaRamban. So he says, I understand the halachas gedolos. Why the halachas gedolos does want to count on Nochi Hashem Elokecha? He says, in fact, the Rambam is strange. Why does the Rambam count on Nochi Hashem Elokecha? Aye, but the Gemara says that these are the two additional mitzvahs. Anochi v'le'yelecho atu, he added up to Torah, which is 611, adds up to 613. So what do you do with the Gemara? So he says, the Gemara is sayvi shver. Because if you're going to count on Nochi Hashem Elokecha as one mitzvah sesei, then le'yelecho is one mitzvah slay sesei. He said, it's not true. Le'yelecho, the second of the Aseres Adibris, has four loving. Le'yelecho le'macher malpana, you're not allowed to believe in any other Avodah Zarah power. You're not allowed to manufacture an Avodah Zarah. You're not allowed to bow down to an Avodah Zarah. You're not allowed to worship them, not by bowing down. So there are four loving here. So if Anochi is one, and Le'yelecho also counts, so it's five. Anochi is one mitzvah sesei, and Le'yelecho, the second of the Aseres Adibris, has four lavim in it. If you discount on the Ochi, so you have four, you don't have five, so the number is off kilter anyway, it's off. It says, you have Torah Tzivalon of 611, either you add on another five, or you add on another four. But we don't know how to understand that Gemara anyway. Rabban says, that Gemara is Ben Kovako, we don't understand. So Stak HaPele, how does the Rambam count on Ochi Hashem Lokecha mitzvah to believe in God? It does make sense. If you don't believe, so there's no mitzvah, how can they say that there's a mitzvah? So that's what the commentaries on the Sefer HaMitzvahs point out. The Sefer HaMitzvahs was written originally in Arabic. And we have Al-Kharizi, or Ibn Tibbon, I forgot about it. We have a translation. There were different translations from the Arabic. So we work with the translations. On the translation it says, Lahamin, to believe in the existence of God. So Rab Chaim Heller points out, Rab Chaim Heller put out an edition of the Sefer HaMitzvahs years ago. Well, the Chofetz Chaim is still alive, he put it out. The Chofetz Chaim said he should only use his translation because he corrected, he knew Arabic. So he in recent years we have Kapach's translation. It's much better. Kapach's is in modern Hebrew, it reads straight. But Chaim Heller, he uses the old translation, it just touches up here and there, where the word was translated incorrectly. But it's the old style Hebrew, it's so hard, it's a literal translation from the Arabic. It's hard to read. Kapach is a normal Hebrew translation. So in Rav Chaim Heller, Sefer HaMitzvah, he points out that the translation of the Arabic word that translated Lahamin is not necessarily the correct translation. You look in the Rambam in the Mishnah Torah, the Rambam's first mitzvah is Leida Sheyesham Bariyamani, not Lahamin, to believe in God, Leida. What do you mean Leida? What does it mean Leida? To know that God exists. So there were those who interpreted the Rambam Leida as a mitzvah to develop all of the philosophical proofs for the existence of God. There were a group of Rishonim who held that that's what the Rambam is saying. Leida Shiesham Bore, to know that God exists. What do you mean? To know, to review all of the philosophical proofs of the existence of God. And others disagreed that that's not what Leida means. So the Baal HaTanya writes, in Bereishis it says, Vayeda Ha'odam Eschava Ishtoi. What does it mean? That they were together. Yederech Ish V'Ishtoi. Leida means Ischabrus. Baal HaTanya writes about Chochmah Bina V'Das. So what does das mean? Das means when a person becomes so aware of certain pieces of chokhmah, it becomes part of his way of thinking. Like whenever they ask me what's my social security numbers, I always have to think for a while because I hardly ever use it. And then sometimes I can't come up with it either. But even if I do come up with my correct social security number, it takes me a long time. It's all the way in the latent memory. It's in the back of my mind. So I have a lot of information. I have to remember when my wife's birthday is. I have to remember hard. On the second guess, I'll probably get it right. I have it in the back of my mind somewhere. A lot of information we have in the back of our minds. And Leida means it should be in the front of your mind. You should always be ever aware of something. So that's what the Baal HaTanya claims. When the Rambam says Leida, to believe in God, is based on the pasuk Dibra Yom. Da'as Elokei Avicha. I think David HaMelech tells Shlomo HaMelech. Da'as Elokei Avicha. What do you mean da? What it means is, like the pasuk says, Shivisi Hashem LeNegdei Samei. You should always visualize as if the Ribbono Shel Olam is in front of you all the time. Lo Maspik is not sufficient that you know in the back of your mind that God exists. Shouldn't be in the back of your mind. Shouldn't be in your latent memory. Should be one of the always with the consciousness that the Ribbono Shel Olam is there. Like the pasuk says right before Shiras Hayam, Vayamina b'Hashem u'b'Moshe Avdoi. What do you mean they had Emunah in Moshe? That what? So I remember when I was in school, so the Rebbe Teich, just like Moshe Rabbeinu was in front of their eyes and they saw him, so they believed in God as if the Ribbono Shel Olam was in front of their eyes all the time. Emunah and the Ribbono Shel Olam should be Hashem l'negdi samin. When the Rambam says a mitzvah l'ha'amin, it's not a mitzvah to believe in the existence of God. It's a mitzvah. We have a historical tradition that God exists. Our ancestors, millions of people witnessed it. That's how we know that God exists. But we shouldn't keep it in the latent part of our memory. We should always be aware of that all the time. They tell the story that when the Baal Shem Tov was a cousin of Mrs. Nadi Behuda, they lived in the same village for a while. So the Nadi Behuda is very opposed to the whole movement of Hasidus. So they tell all the different stories that the Nadi Behuda spoke with the Baal Shem Tov. If you want to make a new movement, you have to be learned. And he had a lot of times with him. So on one occasion, he called him in, Nadi Behuda called in the Baal Shem Tov, and he said, if you have Ruach HaKodesh, you know so much about what other people are thinking. Tell me, what am I thinking now? So he says, you're thinking about the Ribbono Shel Olam. So he says, wrong. So he says, well, you're supposed to be thinking. It says, Shavisi Hashem HaNegdi Samin. You're supposed to be thinking about the Ribbono Shel Olam all the time. That's the first line of Shulchan Aruch. Shavisi Hashem HaNegdi Samin. Person is always supposed to. That's what it means, Leida Shiei Shambor Marlahamin. It doesn't mean to believe in the existence of God. It means like Vayamidam Hashem and Moshe Abdu. Just like Moshe Abdu is in front of our eyes, we see that he's there. We should always have our belief in God should be in the forefront of our minds, as opposed to in our latent memory.
Yeah. It's not here, I think. Okay.
Is anybody here from Brooklyn? Yes, sir. Yes, sir.